40 WGBB. Now it's time for
Nautical Mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
The kingdom of God is at hand, live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air. I gave it my full production value today.
Excellent.
Wasn't that
Palmer.
Good?
This was the best.
I really, do you think I'll get an Emmy for that?
No, but this is out of 152 shows that we've done. This is the best.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
congratulations.
It's like getting a compliment from God. He said it was the best. Trevor, he said it was the best.
It was, right, oh, Trevor?
Oh,
wasn't it?
I don't know how to tell you this. I'm retiring as of today. Anthony, nice being with you again today.
John, and nice being with you.
Do you really mean it, or are you just saying it?
No, I mean it, honestly. But by the way, next month, this time on January the 8th will be our third anniversary.
I know.
Are you going to give me a gift?
No, I'm going to get my head shaved. I want to look like Trevor. I want to get my head shaved. Is that okay? Because I don't have much hair. He's got more hair than I do.
Well, I'm not shaving my head. I don't care what you say. Okay, we got some show set up today, right?
Yeah, it's kind of different, Tony.
Oh, I'll say.
Because in preparing for today, I had a whole new set of things that I thought we could do. And you know, when we both got here, somebody upstairs changed it.
Yeah, always did.
And one of the things he said that he wanted us to do was to begin with a prayer. So let's bring in Dana.
Yes. Our favorite.
The Ave Maria. And Mary, we're asking today that you be with us as we present possibilities for people to enjoy Christmas more, not only this Christmas, but throughout their life, throughout the year.
John, you're absolutely correct. And Christmas is for Christ. And that's why we should always make sure that everyone puts Christmas for Christ in their hearts.
That's right. They put it in there first, above everything. Because that's what the season is all about.
Absolutely.
I get very upset at Happy Holidays. Well, somebody says, and I shouldn't, somebody says Happy Holiday to me, I say thank you and Merry Christmas to you. Because that's what I want to greet people with.
And that's what we all should greet people with. No, none of this Xmas stuff, none of this holiday stuff. It's Christmas, and the dots are all connected.
If you listen to my telephone call at home when you call in,
yes,
it says, Merry Christmas, Happy Easter, yes. Pentecost, wherever you are in your life, let Jesus in.
Yes, I know.
And that's really what this season is all about. We let them in all year long, but we emphasize it today.
So
we're getting ready for Christmas.
Let's turn back to reality. Let's realize that Christmas is Christ.
That's right.
And it's the coming
it's
of Christ. And we're going to see as we go on, even Santa Claus is generated.
Yes, he is. I won't go where you think I will go.
Okay.
I won't go into St.
We'll
Nicholas.
Talk.
I won't
okay.
go near him.
All right. Okay. All right, but we'll go on with this. So anyway, that's our wish. That's our founder's wish, is to keep Christ into Christmas.
And
that's what it's all
we're
about.
We're being very insulting to Dana. We're talking over
yes,
her.
Yes, we are.
She now joins Al in
but
the select club.
You know what? She's in Ireland. She'll never know.
That's right. We thank Dana. She wrote that song.
Yeah, she's
remember
quite
she
talented.
Was on and she yeah. talked about how she put it together?
Yeah.
It's just so lovely. And it's a nice way to begin a Christmas show because, as Mother Teresa said, if Mary said no, there would be no Jesus. At
there
least
would
through
be,
Mary. He would come another yeah. way, I'm sure.
If Mary said no, everything would have changed.
That's right.
And we know it.
Last week, when we had the gals from Advent show on, we talked about keeping Christ in Christmas. And then I began thinking, why just Christmas? Why can't we keep Jesus alive in us all year round? And so what I did, and I shared with you the newsletter I send out from the renewal office every week, like clockwork, every Tuesday morning. And it goes out to around 500 or 600 people. And it talks about all the ways in which we can invite Jesus into our lives all year round. And if anybody wants that email, email them from the diocese of Rockville Center. I would be very happy to. You just email me, jpalmer@drvictorc.org. jpalmer@drvc.org. And I'll be glad to share what we share each week. And there's a whole underground army. You know that, Tony.
I know it. But and you know what? There's almost every prayer group that's active is in your newsletter.
I know.
And everything that's going on, and including our show, you have
yeah.
there right on the top. Including your conference that
if you
did.
Noticed, did you see what I put on in big black letters?
Yes.
Number one rated show.
On WGBB.
Long Island's oldest station with the oldest people who are running the show. If they ever let us out, they're going to put us on a funny farm. I don't know.
And hopefully we'll be number one on some other station soon. We'll talk more about that.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question,
Go
John.
Ahead.
What's a prayer group?
Well, you know, a prayer group is a way of people gathering around a specific way of relating to Mary or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit or to St. Padre Pio or to any of the saints. Look at the number of saints you've spoken about. And there are prayer groups built around them.
152.
I know.
So far.
Yeah, but, you know, and a lot of people are devoted to them, to the saints, because they don't feel worthy enough to ask Jesus or the Father or the Spirit. And, you know, the Spirit, Father, he's wide open. He wants you to come and talk with him.
Okay, can I ask you another question?
Good.
Why should I join a prayer group? Why? Well, I mean, like, I pray. I know what praying is. It's a way of communicating with God and Jesus. And, I go to church. But why should I tie myself down every week and going to a prayer group?
You know what it's like? Are you a football fan or a baseball fan or anything like that?
Yes, I am.
All right. You know, and I like to follow the Mets, okay?
So do I.
And if I went out to Shea Stadium,
we got something in common. Wait, we got something in common, baby.
I know.
We're Met fans.
But the way the Mets are going, I would be totally alone at home, and I'd rather be at the ballpark with the other three or four people who want to watch the Mets. There's something about gathering together with people with a similar interest, in this case, a prayer group, that just edifies you. You feel better afterwards. I've gone to prayer groups. I've gone to all these different kinds of prayer groups all over the island, and you can go in sometimes and feel like you're ready to chew everyone up and stomp on them for a while, too. But as the prayer group begins, the devotion of the people in that room or that chapel takes over. I recall one time in prayer, remembering prayer is the lubricant of our souls, and it opens us to God's love. So if you're with similar people, you need to be reinforced. And that's what prayer groups. Isn't that what it does for you?
Yeah, yes, that's what it does for me. But, you know, by the way, you're John Palmer. I know you listeners may know, you may not know. I know he's not that popular, I don't think, out there. But they may not know.
I'm dull.
But he's in charge, I think, of all the prayer groups in the diocese, aren't you?
I'm the coordinator. I coordinate them.
You coordinate them. He's the guy that coordinates all the different prayer groups in the diocese. So, you know, if you have a problem with a prayer group, there you go, see him.
Do you know how many prayer groups there are in our diocese operating each week?
I don't know how many.
Over 200.
Really?
Different kinds of prayer groups. There are Marian prayer groups. There are charismatic prayer groups. There are prayer groups for the saints. There are prayer groups that are devoted to adoration and the Blessed Sacrament. There are prayer groups that are devoted to Mary. It's just unbelievable. Everyone has their own ministry. It's as if God provides just what each heart needs.
So each prayer group is a specialist. They specialize in certain things.
That's it.
Padre Pio, journaling with Jesus.
Yeah.
Things of that nature.
Sure. And they all have their own special charism, if you want. That's the term that the church gives, where they can meditate, or they can sing, or they could do Mary stuff, or they could whatever.
So now while I got you, you know, this is a good opportunity for me to separate a lot of things and to learn a lot of things. This charismatic,
I certainly hope so.
and I hope, by the way, listen, audience, I hope whatever questions that ask, that they are the same ones that you may have in mind. Mm-hmm. If they're not, I'll say a prayer to Jesus, lets me say what you want me
Good.
To say. Okay, now, this charismatic thing where people are up there shaking their arms all up there, and sometimes they dance on the tables and they jump up and down. And explain that to me.
I'll tell you exactly what that is. It's a form of surrendering your inhibitions, if you want, to Jesus. You let him go, and you're praising him just like the angels do. So you lift your hands.
But they look like crazy. They're jumping up and down.
Yeah, but
and
you
they're
know
woo!
What?
Isn't
it fun sometimes to let your hair down?
It's fun for me to watch you do it, to be honest with you.
It's a miracle for me to be able to do it. But, you know, it's really a way of praising and say, I surrender even my body to you, Lord, that I can do cheerful, holy, loving things in your honor and in praise of you. And, you know, sometimes when people put their hands up, they feel heat on their hands. That's the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And people feel that. And I know that you're asking questions that the listeners would ask, but there are Mary people who will look at those charismatics and say, they're crazy.
Well, sometimes
and there
I
are
say
charismatics who will look at Mary people and say, all they do is say the same prayer over and over and over and over and over again. You know, but
okay,
they both are finding this is their path to God.
Okay,
it's
so
interesting.
Now, I'm using you as the prayer expert, so to speak.
Because thank you so much. Thank
you're
you.
In charge. You've been around a long time, a lot longer than me, all this stuff.
112 years I've been at the diocese.
112.
You know, I've seen 72 bishops go by.
All right, now, so that's one prayer, charismatic. And there are people that do that. I mean, I see them all the time. I'd like to get into that stuff a little bit.
You know, I know you belong to the group, the Unused Day groups.
Yes.
And they tell me they're charismatic and they're meditative and they're marrying. And all I could think of is their prayer time. They raise their hands and no sound would come out.
Yes, they do. We do. We raise our hands and praise and give our glory
but
to God.
But you don't make any noise because meditative, too. Contemplative. Go
contemplative.
Ahead.
All right. Now, besides this charismatic type, and there's a contemplative prayer, right? Now,
For our listeners, contemplative prayers is when people get quiet and still and open their inner voice to God's presence.
Now, so there's different types of prayers. Now, how does a person decide, or how does a person or a believer know what prayer group they should mingle into? I mean, is it personal taste?
You know, if you go to a charismatic group and you're not happy because of the hand-waving, and then you go to a Mary group and you're not happy with the Hail Marys and whatever, and you go to a contemplative group, it's, whoa, this is just where I want to be. I can be quiet here.
Wow. Now, by the way, in John's newsletter, he's got all the different prayer groups listed. So I guess if you want to join a prayer group, one of the ways to decide is to look at your newsletter.
Yeah, and every parish has, for example, after the 9 o'clock Mass every morning, or whatever the last Mass is, there's always a Mary group there saying the rosary out loud as a community. And isn't that another nice thing for people to do? It's really good.
There's one thing that really impresses me about prayer groups, I have to say it, and this is why I employ all our listeners, if they can, to join a prayer group. I mean, each parish has several prayer groups. But they're so powerful in prayers. They're so powerful in petitions. I mean, I've seen prayer groups pray for petitions that people give. And I've seen it come to pass. And I've seen them, as soon as they know that there's a petition, pow! They jump right on it. They go right to work. Yeah. It's like an army. It's like little ants all up and down calling everybody. We need to pray for this one. We need to pray for that one. We need to do this. And it works.
And it works. You know, the other thing about the prayer groups, no matter which one you join, it becomes your family outside of your family. It becomes
fellowship.
Your community. Because many times in families, the wife will love to go to a prayer group, but the husband rather watch the Mets.
Yes.
You know? And they can go to a prayer group, and many times they can just share what's going on. Did I ever tell you the difference between a woman's prayer group and a men's prayer group?
There's nobody.
Because we have
the
them
men's
too.
Group.
No, there are.
I know.
In a woman's prayer group, a woman will come in and say, "Oh, I feel so terrible. I don't know why I'm here." And all the women would gather around her and say, "Yes, dear, we love you. Oh, don't worry. You're so happy. We're so happy with it." And a man will go to a man's prayer group and say, "Oh, I don't know why I'm here." And they would say, "We don't know why the hell you're here either. You're messing us up with all this sloppy stuff, you know?" A man's group is kind of, oof.
Yes.
And there are men's groups in the diocese. We have a dozen of them now.
Well the men's group in the diocese is doing a phenomenal job on bringing the men out.
Oh, yeah.
They really, and the men's conference that they're going to have, they have in March.
Every
I mean,
year.
It's not a commercial, but I mean, it's very powerful, and it's all men.
And it's something to see men together.
Yeah.
There is a particularly interesting group, they're all interesting, at St. Philip and St. James in St. Philip's on Monday evenings. And they have guest speakers, and they do adoration, and they do prayer time. And they have it over at Curie of Ours with Tony Gentile.
Very powerful.
Yeah, and they got about 70 men.
Don't you know? We've been there. We've done talks there.
You know what they're doing now? Anthony tells me they're doing skits.
Yes,
and they've
I
been
know.
Putting them on in their parish hall.
Yeah, and also they do the skit at the conference.
Yeah.
They do a little skit.
And you know what? There's a counterpart of women's groups as well. One in particular that I'm really impressed with is the Magnificat prayer groups. And they meet annually, but monthly also for a social night. They were just at Curie of Ours, where they had a guest speaker, and they were wonderful. they gather together, the women. The men can come. They say you can come, but if I were you, you'd look like a sissy if you were going to...
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. wait a minute. Now, wait, that brings to mind...
They're charismatic and Marian.
The Legion of Mary.
Tina Marie.
Tina Marie.
At Infant Jesus out in Port Jefferson.
Yes. And do you know what they do? I mean, in St. Catherine, they're doing it. They go out.
Corporal works of mercy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And people, that's their form of prayer.
Yeah. They're knocking on people's doors.
I know.
They're saying, we're from whatever parish they are. Would you like a Bible? Would you like to talk to us? Do you need any prayers? They're knocking on doors.
I know.
They're evangelizing.
And they're just so wonderful and so giving. And many times when they go into a house, and there are some people who believe that houses have spirits that are not, that should be there, and they go in with a priest and they pray and bless the house.
It's amazing. You know what? I'm very impressed with prayer groups.
And there are 60 of those prayer groups in our diocese. 60 of them.
Are there?
Yeah, 35 are English-speaking and 25 are Spanish. But look at what they do, and they do it completely unannounced behind the scenes. I'll tell you another group that's not a prayer group, but does phenomenal work, and they're not really known greatly or even thought of as prayer groups. Those are your confraternity of Christian doctrine teachers.
Yes.
These are the people who prepare our children, your children, for First Communion and for confirmation. And they give them the basis of their sacramental life. And they're volunteers, Tony. They're volunteers. And nobody even pays attention. In fact, they complain to the teacher, why is this going on? And I always, when I hear something like that, I say, you know, don't you realize that these are people who are dedicated to Jesus, who give their time. I got another group for you. Want to get another group that people may enjoy joining?
Yeah, why?
The choir.
Oh, yeah.
Choir in churches.
Yeah.
Some of the choirs are so professional. They're unbelievable.
They're well talented.
And yet I've gone to masses where there's just one person singing at a guitar up front. And you can feel the presence of God floating on that music.
And some of them, when the cantors sing certain songs, I mean, they ring out from the tops of the church. You can hear it coming down. It's amazing. They are very talented singers.
Yeah, and I got another thing to think of. And you and I participate in them. Those are healing masses.
Oh, yeah.
Masses with prayers. Every mass is a healing mass. There's no question of that.
Yes.
Because God's there. But sometimes people need the touch of another person just to pray for them in a special way and pray for their healing, for whether they have psychological, spiritual, mental, emotional concerns, relationship concerns. And they're touched. Look at you and I just did this past Friday, didn't we do it?
Monday,
yeah. But I lose track of the days, but people come up and they come up like little children, don't they?
All sorts of
and they ask for prayer, and many times all you have to do is say what God leads you to say, but basically it's, hey, don't you know I love you?
Absolutely.
And I'm here speaking for God, for Mary, for the Spirit, and just touching you and saying, let me give you a hug. I think you need a hug. You realize how many people don't get hugs because of the problems they have? And you can give them a prayer and a hug from God.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's really amazing. Yeah. And they're touched, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely touched.
Now, we know, for example, I'll mention the St. Aidan's. On the last Friday of each month, although they won't be back until February, in the basement of the school, they cram in
200
people for prayers for healing. And they usually have five or six priests there to
seven
say the mass.
Eight,
yeah,
plus
and they
deacon.
Have the deacon there.
He's dynamite.
You know, and they'll be back. The deacon's unbelievable.
Deacon Jock, we love it. Deacon Jock, I hope you're listening. We love you so much, Deacon Jock.
Yeah, but we have to tell you, you have to learn to calm down a bit, Deacon Jock. You have to. But, you know, those kinds of masses are phenomenal. Did you ever go to the Padre Pio one?
Yes.
There's one at Holy Name of Jesus on the first Friday of each month.
No, I don't
think
so.
That's in Plainview. No, it's not Plainview. It's not Syosset. It's on... Well, it doesn't make any difference, really. But they have, it's a regular mass, and afterwards they expose the glove of Padre Pio, and people pray for healing during that time. And they've done it at different masses. I've done it at Living Waters when they were there with a mass, yeah. A healing mass.
We've had the glove of Padre Pio on our show. We had Michael
sure.
Rialli.
Yeah.
On our show,
yeah.
And she was with the glove at the Citadel Friday night.
That was Lisa, his wife. Yeah.
His wife. Lovely
but
lady.
I, you know, Thekla does that. Not only Thekla, it's Pat and Eileen and Techie
right.
And Andrea, Angela, and I told them I'm sick and tired of Padre Pio's glove. Can't you get me a sock or something? I mean, there's got to be something. He's a holy man. They touched his body. Can we use that? I would say other parts of equipment, but I don't want to go there.
All right. Now, let me ask you another question.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me ask you another question.
Right.
So we know what charismatic prayer groups are. We know what the contemplative prayer groups are. We know what prayer groups are. What's a prayer? What is praying?
Well, there are two kinds of prayer. There's the vocal prayer, where people say the Hail Marys or the standardized prayers. And there's also mental prayer, where they pursue their own way of digging deeper into prayer, like through scripture, or just by being still and journaling. You're in a group that journals. I know that.
I journal, yeah.
And journal. I've been journaling for 30 years. It's wonderful.
And I love to journal. And I get such insight. You know, when I have questions, when I have questions on the gospel, on the readings, I journal on it.
Yeah.
And I get, I don't know what, how or what, but I do get a explanation that would explain that reading to me. Maybe it just comes into my head or something,
yeah.
But that's how
That's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I don't know what, yes, it's the Holy Spirit.
And, you know, that's where the Spirit is most active. When we quiet ourselves down and listen. You ever hear Joyce Meyer on the radio or television?
Yes.
And a Protestant evangelist? She's lovely. And she says that she's convinced that God wants us to listen. So somebody asked her why. She said, because he gave us two ears and one mouth. And if he wanted us to talk so much, he'd give us two mouths and one ear. And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he does talk to us.
Oh, absolutely. I'm firmly convinced in that. We need to hear him, though. We need to be receptive. We need to get rid of all the noise that's going on in our heads. And once that's done, in one way or another, he's going to talk to us.
One of the most powerful prayer experiences anyone can have is to spend an hour in adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. You do that, don't you?
Absolutely.
And for listeners, that's where the Eucharist is and exposed, and people go in and pray. And why does it have to be exposed? Isn't he in the tabernacle? Yeah. But when he's out in that monstrance, there's nothing
there.
Between you and him.
Yeah.
And he's there, and people will feel their peace, that they can feel his peace as he touches them. Quietly, I was over at Holy Redeemer one time in Freeport. I travel all over the diocese. I'm like the inspector general, if you want. But I was over at Holy Redeemer on a Sunday morning at about 6 o'clock, and there was a group of young Spanish men there, prone, prostrate on the floor, in prayer, offering praise to God, and then becoming still. You could almost see the peace and the stillness come over their bodies. You know, it's really fascinating.
So can we conclude that prayer is actually giving God praise and glory, and also talking to God
and listening
to him. And listening to him?
And it's what Bishop Murphy says, to help people belong to Jesus more deeply. if you let yourself set time aside to just be with God, believe it or not, he'll take time to be with you in any of these kind of prayer experiences that we're talking about. We have really just not even scratched the surface of them.
But you know what I just got?
Graham.
And as far as prayer groups go, that Jesus has said in the readings, in the Bible, that when two or more gather in my name, I am there among them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when prayer groups gather in Jesus' name, he's there.
Yeah.
He's represented right in the midst of that prayer group.
Yeah.
And that's why these prayer groups are so spiritual.
And many of them are very vocal and energetic and joyful. And it really is because of the music and the spirit takes over. And once you start jumping around a bit, you change your chemistry and you start to open to God.
And there's a fellowship that develops.
Oh, yeah.
Amongst the people.
I have a prayer group that nobody ever has heard of. But it's everywhere in the diocese. You want to know what it is?
I hate to ask. What is it?
It's Our Lady of Entenmann's.
Yes.
Because there isn't a prayer group that doesn't have Entenmann's cake in it.
You're right.
I'm sorry for the commercial. We should ask them if they'd like to sponsor our radio show.
And tell them
we're going to start. We're going to introduce Our Lady of Entenmann's. I know I'm irreverent. I can't help it.
Well, no, but you know what? I thought you were going to say it's the John Palmer, but this Entenmann's.
So we have our radio show.
Yes.
We have prayer groups. Right. We have masses for healing.
Right.
We have a lot of people who give seminars.
Yeah.
I do one every month.
And it's a commercial.
And I don't. Yeah, well, no, it's not.
But no,
this,
it's a good one.
This one is at St. Mary's in Manhasset, and it will be this coming Tuesday night. And I do it the second Tuesday of each month. And at that time, this Tuesday, we're going to talk about Christmas healing in love, with love, and through love. And how does God heal us, Jesus, the Spirit, Mary? How do they heal us in love at Christmas time? And I got another thing that may happen shortly, and I know I'm going on a bit about prayer groups or seminars, but the people from Shalom Media,
mm-hmm.
called me and they said, would I be interested, and if I'm interested, so are you, would I be interested in doing an online prayer group on a Sunday night at 7:30. I told you about that, right?
No, I saw it in the
okay.
letter, yes, but I would definitely be interested in that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Because that way any of the homebound can attend a prayer meeting online. It would
be just
so special. You got anything you want to bring up with these? I got so many.
Well, you have a whole bunch of prayer groups here. So my next question is, and I'm sorry to bombard you with all these questions, but you know what? These are questions that have been bothering me all these years. I got somebody I can empty it on.
Do you have insurance? I'll bring out my psychology license. Go ahead.
If people want to decide to join a prayer group, besides praying over it, what's the best way for them to decide on the best prayer group to join for them, besides praying over it?
You just got to try it. Try them. You know, there's room in every parish. You'll see it in the parish bulletin that there's a prayer group that meets Monday night, Tuesday night, whatever. Every night in the week, there is a prayer group meeting.
Yeah. So it comes
of all different kinds.
So it falls down to your availability and if you're able to attend.
And your interest,
and,
you know.
And your interest, and et cetera.
After my first wife died, I was really very upset and really had a lot of trouble, to say the least. And I was drawn down to a prayer group in the parish. I don't know what it was. And it was the first night of a Life in the Spirit seminar. And I was captured by what happened that night because it helped me with my grief. There are just so many ways.
That's
that,
a good point. And yeah. Prayer groups have a habit or have a history of bringing people back to God.
Oh, they certainly do.
They really do. I mean, some may go just out of curiosity. They may go just for a night that they have nothing to do. But once you go, you get hooked.
I got one last place.
Go ahead.
Because I know you're ready to do the saint.
Yes, I am.
And that's all right.
And you're ready to do some music.
Yeah, well, sure.
You've
we'll do some
music. You've gone all this while without any music.
Yeah. don't overlook the retreat houses. For example, and the shrine, for example, the Shrine of Our Lady at Manaville. Now, they're going to have a family Advent retreat called Call to be Healers, Call to be Heralds, and it's going to be presented by the Marianist Family Retreat Center on Saturday, December 14th, from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m., and the whole family is welcome, and it concludes with a mass at 5, and people arrive at 12:30. Out at the shrine, which is out at Manaville. And if you haven't been out there, it's wonderful. Father Roy and the Montfort Fathers have a beautiful shrine out there. And it has so many different kinds of activities. They have a movie night that you can take your family to and not worry about the language. You know, there are just so many things. And in this summertime, I believe it's May 31st, they're going to have a day of retreat for women with Jeanette Benkovic, who's on EWTN, talking about women of grace and giving a retreat. You know, you can't overlook those retreat houses. And they have some interesting people. And many of the parishes have their own special healing masses. Tomorrow, for example, I'm going to the Ending of a Life in the Spirit seminar over at Emmanuel Retreat House with a group of young people in the 25 to 40 age range, and they're going to receive baptism in the Spirit.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? There's a lot of conferences always going on. There's a lot of things. Today, as a matter of fact, you know Ginny, who was on our show? She's a missionary. She goes to different places and talks about...
Oh, the one who did discernment.
Discernment, yeah.
Yeah, sure, she was wonderful.
Yeah, and she's doing a discernment today.
Good.
At... Mercy.
Okay.
And she's got it going on, I think, right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, so, you know, we're not going to keep everybody up to date with all the events, but we tell you, if you really want our bulletin emailed to you, email me at my office in the diocese, jpalmer@drvc.org. jpalmer@drvc.org.
It's very good. I read it every week, but I don't print it out. If you print it out in black and white. It's got too much color in his newsletter.
But you know, that's our only way of advertising the things that we're doing.
Yes.
So anyone who gets an email, send it on to your friends so that we can publicize all the things we're doing. You have a saint, don't you? Or would you like a little song first?
Yes.
What would you like?
I'll let you, whatever you want to do.
All right, let's do something Christmassy. I know we did a 40-minute commercial.
I know. Is it a quick song?
I think we'll find some.
Okay.
Since it's Christmassy, why not Silent Night?
Love it.
It's Father Charles and Lori, who just did a wonderful thing at St. Catherine of Siena.
It was wonderful.
And they do missions all over the island.
Yes.
Everywhere you turn, there's somebody doing something.
They're doing them at churches now.
I know.
Yeah. They're going to be on our show, they promised me.
They better be.
Joseph were in Bethlehem. The time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
An angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds living in the field, saying, Do not be afraid, for today a Savior has been born for you, who is the Messiah and Lord. Then suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
we thank Father Charles and Lori. We use their music so many times.
We really do. It's almost like it's the Charles and Lori show.
and okay. You know, we have a tradition, listeners, with every week we have a saint of the day who
We've
comes
out. We've had 152 so far.
And I know you have a very good one today.
Yes, I do.
And so,
okay,
go
you ready?
To it.
Okay, right. So yesterday, December 6th was the feast day of St. Nicholas. So yes, Dr. Palmer, St. Nicholas is really our beloved Santa Claus. And he has become one of the season's most popular holidays. St. Nicholas is one of the most important saints in the church. It's said that there are more Catholic churches named after St. Nicholas worldwide than any other saint, except for the Blessed Mother. In the United States, our Santa Claus custom evolved from St. Nicholas's tradition.
Did he have a white beard?
Yes, he did.
And did he wear a red
yes,
suit?
Yes, he did.
He did?
He did. Yes,
I didn't
he did.
Know
yes.
That. Yes. Oh,
he absolutely
boy.
Did. And I'll tell you how that name, Santa Claus, came about when I get later on into the dissertation. So St. Nick was wise. He was very kind, and he was a bishop, the bishop in Asia Minor, what is now what we know as Turkey. Nicholas also was rich, but being rich, he was, you know, he was generous. And whenever he met a poor man, he would give him money. If the poor man tried to say thank you, Nicholas would just become very shy and walk away. One day, as Nicholas walked around town, he overheard three young women talking sadly about what was going to happen to them. Nicholas eardropped, and he listened. Although I didn't really know he was an eardropper, but he did. It seemed that
How do eardrop?
I'll tell you that after the show. It seemed that they were so poor that nobody would even marry them, even though they were very beautiful women. No one wants to marry a poor woman, I guess. I don't know. When their father came home, he shared their sorrow. He had no work, no hope of getting any work, no money. It seemed he might have to sell his daughters into slavery so that they would survive. In those days, I guess that's what they did. Or they might
well,
even,
that's a good thing to do with your daughter.
Or they might even have to earn a living as prostitutes. Nicholas tiptoed away. That night, While they were all sleeping, Nicholas came secretly into the house and threw a round bag of gold coins in through the window. "This is the best way," he said to himself. "If I give them money, it's in an obvious way, it may embarrass their father. Much better that I do it secretly." And Nicholas went quietly on his way. Next morning, the father was overjoyed. "Now my eldest daughter has a dowry and can get married. Soon there will be a wedding and a great party, and I will have grandchildren." Doesn't say that, but I made that up. Sometime after this, Nicholas was passing the same house. The two young daughters were still sad because nobody would marry them, and their father was again very full of sorrow. Nicholas went quietly home that night. He came back tiptoeing around again and threw a second bag of money in through the window. Wow. Next morning, the family...
I wish I had a brother like that.
Next morning, the family was overjoyed. That's what he does today, Santa Claus. That's what he's doing. He was overjoyed again. "Now my second daughter can get married," said the father. And soon there was a second wedding and a second great party and more grandchildren.
Wow.
Some days later, Nicholas was again passing the same house. The father and his youngest daughter were sitting very sorrowfully. "Oh, I hope this wasn't an act," at home, because there was no money for a third wedding. Nicholas went quietly home. That night, the father didn't go to sleep. He was wondering who had been leaving such generous presents, and he wanted to say thank you to him. Sure enough, Nicholas came tiptoeing around and was about to throw a third bag of gold into the window when the father heard him and came to the door. Nicholas tried to run away, but the father caught him by the arm and started to thank him. Nicholas explained that he wanted to help all the daughters, but he didn't want anyone to make a fuss over him. So even so, the father tried very hard to thank Nicholas properly. Nicholas replied that he must not thank him, but thank God for allowing him to do this, who had given Nicholas money to use sensibly. At last, the two men gave each other a hug. You never hugged me, by the way, Palmer. A friendship.
I have taste.
And then Nicholas went on his way. The third daughter was able to get married, and Bishop Nicholas blessed the young couple, and there was a very big party. More better than ever, and more grandchildren. Mm. Now,
might have been easy if I had been sold into slavery.
In the Netherlands, Nicholas is said to visit children on his feast day, and if they have been good that year, he leaves them presents. In Dutch, his name is Santa Claus. When Dutch people settled in America, in what was once New Amsterdam and now New York, they kept up this custom. Other people in the city misheard his name and started to call the name Santa Claus. And that's how the name Santa Claus came about, just about. They gave rise to all the stories about Santa Claus or Father Christmas. Like St. Nicholas, Santa Claus is supposed to make secret visits at night and leave presents for those who only deserve them.
Oh.
And so that's Palmer. Santa Claus is truly St. Nicholas.
He really
is. That's
the
story of St. Nicholas.
That's wonderful. Why did he give me a piece of coal?
Well,
I don't understand
what
I've been doing.
When you're bad, tradition goes, you get coal. I never got coal when I was a kid.
You better watch out.
You better not shout.
You better not.
Don't make me sing.
I'm telling you why.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
And you know, all of our listeners can make this a very, very Santa Claus Christmas just for themselves if they would just find a way to go closer to God.
Yes.
Because Santa Claus is lovely.
But all the dots are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Claus is connected to St. Nicholas. And to the prayer groups and to God.
That's right.
And that's why it's so important that we keep Christ in Christmas.
Absolutely.
I knew a song was coming.
It is. If I can get it to come, it'll come. That's not the one I wanted, but that's all right. We want everybody to keep that spirit alive. I want to stop it because I want to leave time for us to pray for Christmas for our listeners.
Absolutely.
Because it's just that kind of a special time of year. And I'm trying to get some of that spirit in the background as we pray. This happens to be my favorite song at Christmas. At one time, I was in adoration at Holy Redeemer on a Christmas Eve just prior to midnight mass, and I was all alone because it was the state I was in at that point in my life. And I was going to move into church at the beginning of midnight mass, and I heard inside of me, "Sit down, sit down. I want you to just listen to the choir sing this song." And they sang "O Holy Night," and Tony, that cut right through my heart.
Oh, how could it not?
And whatever was going on, I got a big Christmas healing that night. And so we're praying for our listeners that music such as this will get them in the mood for Christmas, get them to focus on the real reason for this season, and let them become open to the presence of Jesus in their heart at Christmas. So we're praying now, Lord, for our listeners in particular. So many of them are hurting at Christmas. So many are lonely, forgotten, feel abandoned. And Lord, we ask, even in just these few minutes, will you come into them your way? Spiritually, delightfully, peacefully, so that they know that all that we've been talking about this whole hour is for real. That you are real, you are alive, and that you're calling them into a closer relationship with you, so that they will know you're the one who's calling them. I can hear you now. "Hey, kids. Hey, kids. I'm not Santa Claus. I'm his boss. And I'm here. I got special presents for you. You may not get trains, but I'll put you on the right track. You may not get a bottle of wine, but I'll give you my true presence in wine if you come to me at Mass. And if you let me do in you what I truly want to do. I want to give you the spirit of Christmas in your heart. Because being alive in my love at Christmas is the best gift you can give yourself. I am the gift that keeps on giving love forever. I am the Christ child sitting right before you. If you look at your radio, or I guess you don't look into your earphones, but I'm here and I'm giving you traditional music to put you in the mood for the gift I wish to give you right now. Sit down. Become still. Realize who it is that's speaking in your heart. Dear friends, I love you. I see your pain. I see your heartache. I see your worries. I see your fears. I know the broken hearts that you have. Let me in right now so I can get you ready for Christmas. Let me make this your holy night over the radio. Let me bless you now, my way. This won't be a big deal. It won't be a big television set. But it will be an opening in your heart that you will never forget. As my grace travels across these airwaves into your heart, we're blessing you now. We're blessing all of our listeners. We bless all the families who have lost people this year. Dr. Teresa, Bonnie, and so many others that we've lost during the year. Bless them, Lord. We know they're praying for us and trying to make our Christmas a special one. All those who are lonely at Christmas, Lord, touch them with your love. Fill their hearts with your presence. Let them know that what we talk about on these radio shows is my presence coming to you throughout the year. Christmas is not just now. It's all year round. We bless you. And you want to know something? Snuggle up. Here comes our hug. Right to you. Snuggle in. Feel it? Feel it? We bless you. Have a great Christmas and a great week. Do you have a goodbye word, Tony?
Yes, Jesus, we thank you for all the gifts you have given us throughout the year, not only during Christmas. We give you praise and glory and thanks. We ask that you bless our listeners and you answer our petitions, that we have a whole envelope full, and that you always be by our sides. You stand with us, and you let us know that you are truly our best friend. We love you, Jesus. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
We love you, listeners. Thank you for listening.
Not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240.